to hear the sound of praise to his people. Come on, in the name of the Lord, somebody exalt him. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord is in this room. Hallelujah, the Spirit of the Lord is in this room. Somebody exalt the name of the Lord. Somebody call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody magnify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it.
Hallelujah.
Come on, hallelujah. Come on, somebody worship him. Come on, somebody give it all you've got. Come on, you're everything to me, Jesus. You're my healer, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're my deliverer, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You're still everything.
Hallelujah. 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 You're still everything. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. We don't want to move too fast. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody told me that hallelujah means I give my entire being to Yahweh. I give my entire being to God. Come on, right now, while you're singing that, I want you to think about those words and what you're actually meaning. You're still everything, so I must still give my all to you. I am Adabasotoma. You're still everything. Hallelujah. I'm going to give my entire being to you. I'm not going to hold back. Because of who you are, I'm going to worship you. Because of who you are, I'm going to magnify you. Because of who you are, I'm going to glorify you. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice. Come on, the King is in this room. Hallelujah. I am my babas. You got a bad report, but you recognize his goodness. You recognize his mercy. You recognize his love. You recognize him for who he is. So instead of surrendering in defeat, instead of walking away from God, instead of walking out of the church, you say, you know what, God, I'm going to worship you anyhow. I'm going to exalt your name anyhow. I'm going to glorify you anyhow. So I'm going to lift up my voice and I'm going to say hallelujah. In spite of the calamity, in spite of the storm, in spite of the uncertainty, I'm going to exalt the name of the Lord. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Come on, somebody, lift his name. It's one thing when you lift this, when you lift your voice. It's another thing when you lift this name. Hallelujah. Oh God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. Would you dare to believe God again? Hallelujah. Would you dare to believe God again? Come on, would you dare to stretch forth your faith again? Come on, would you take off the restraints? Would you take off the restrictions? Come on and release your faith in God. Come on. Come on, I'm talking about faith that goes beyond the sanctuary. I'm talking about faith that goes beyond the past. I'm talking about faith that does not restrict or restrain God to what he did yesterday, but a faith that can usher you into your tomorrow. A faith that can say that if he did it back then, he can do it again. A faith that takes away the limitations. The faith that takes away the restrictions and the restraints. A faith that releases the power and the demonstration of God. Come on, I've come to tell you he's able to do it. 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 Come on. I know that right now we're expected. I know that we're supposed to preach, but I've come to tell you right now what happens if God says what I want to do. He said I want to do it right now, right where you stand. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Oh God, somebody worship him. Oh God. Book of Hebrews says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife, an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, but sure and steadfast, in which entered into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. 18th verse says that by two immutable things, which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong, 17th verse says, for wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of the promise the mutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I want to talk to you tonight from the thought, I swear I'm going to bless you. I swear I'm going to bless you. You can be seated. Father, in the name of the Lord, we pray, Lord, that your kingdom come. Hallelujah. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus made the statement. He said that I am the way, and he said that I am the truth, and he said, and I am the life. Abraham was leaving a place that is extremely familiar to him. What has caused him to make this move or transition? It is not because he has a wandering spirit. It is said that many people have a tendency to take comfort in the things that are familiar to them. I remember when I was in the world, there was a song that came on a television show that my mother and father would watch. I didn't find the show entertaining, and I think it was because of my age. But in the song, it said, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad that you came. Well, there's something about that to be said, that many people like to go where they are welcomed. And many of us have a tendency to surround ourselves with people in places that we are familiar with. Now, there are some that, when you think of young people, there are many young people, when they're talked to by their parents or other people in the church or in the world, and they ask them the question, what do you plan to be when you grow up? A lot of them will begin to declare that I want to be a police officer. One says, I want to be a firefighter. Another one may say, I want to be a veterinarian. Another one would say, I want to be a doctor or a nurse. But as they get older and as they begin to desire a level of independence, you'll notice that a lot of them will begin to change some of their desires. And I would say that many of us probably at one time or another have known what it is like to actually be that one. That when you were younger, you told your mother, you said that I don't want to go far away from you. And you probably desired to live with your mom as long as you possibly could at a particular age. But it was when you began to recognize that mom and dad has rules that are completely different from your desires, and you begin to grow and you begin to mature in life, all of a sudden you begin to desire a level of independence that would move you further away from the one that at one time that you desired to be as close to. And I would say that it is not because an individual has lost a love for their mother or father. There are some parents that don't know how to take it, praise the Lord, when their children say, Mom, I don't want to go to the community college in the area, but I want to go to the college that's clear on the West Coast or clear on the East Coast. And if you're up here in Elkhart, you're like, well, why aren't you going to Notre Dame? And they're saying, I don't want to go to Notre Dame. I want to go to LSU. And a lot of times there are people that wrestle with that. And the reason why is because they're thinking that the children don't have any desire or rejection or have no love for them. And really what has happened is that God has built mankind in such a way that it is natural for a man to leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. There's something wrong when we want our children. There's something wrong when we are demanding for our children not to leave from around us. Now, it is a privilege, praise the Lord, to be that one that is able to be able to have them come over the house or have the grandkids over, you know, every other weekend or so. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that God has a will and has a perfect plan and a perfect will for every person that is in this world. So what God may permit your neighbor to have may not necessarily be the same thing that he is permitting for you. And what God is maybe allowing the closest person in your life to be able to have access to their children and grandchildren, they may, when it comes down to you, that may not necessarily be the plan that God has for you. But the true desire is that at the end of the day, my desire as a father, and it would be that my children follow the voice of God. I want my children that if anything, I want them to know the voice of God and be willing to follow that voice, even if that voice is speaking different from my desire. Because the Bible makes the statement in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. And my desire is to make sure that whatever the plan of God is fulfilled in their life. Well, the Bible makes the statement that Abraham was in a place that was extremely familiar to him. But all of a sudden, a voice that was not familiar to him shows up. Now, there are many people today that are really searching and trying to pursue the voice of God. There's been a lot, I would say, probably over the past 5, 6 to 7 or 8 years of evangelizing, we probably have had to slow down and not be the exuberant preacher and actually have to slow down and actually begin to teach the word of the Lord, because I have found that there are many people that are very excited when it comes down to hearing preaching that thrills them or exuberant, but yet are not really catching what God is actually saying to the church. And because of that, praise the Lord, I've noticed that from doing some talks and seminars, there is a conversation or a question that pops up all the time, And that is, Brother Hurt, how can I know the voice of God? And the thing is that usually it is usually centered around a meeting where someone is desiring, praise the Lord, to become used in the gifts of the Spirit. In particular, the word of prophecy or the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. And the main thing that I tell people is not to try to pursue the gifts, but to try to pursue God. And the way that you pursue God is you begin to pursue His voice. And I found that the voice of God increases in your life through your obedience to what He has spoken already. If you want to hear the voice of God, obey what you hear written in the Word of God. If you will obey what is preached and you make yourself, you make God familiar with your obedience to what is preached, then God will make you familiar with His voice. But if you will not make God familiar with your obedience to what is preached or what is taught in the Word of God, you will not be familiar with His voice when He is speaking outside of preaching. So the thing is that the way that God moves is that God moves kind of at His own pace. Well, the thing is that Abraham is out one day and the voice of God begins to show up and begins to walk. And the thing is that God's voice is uniquely different than any other voice. Now, the scripture makes the statement, it says that my sheep hear my voice and another one they will not follow. So the thing is that when it comes down to a person hearing the voice of God, his sheep not only just hear it, but his sheep follow his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice and another one they will not follow. So that means that sheep that belong to God won't just hear the voice of God but not do it. But sheep that hear the voice of God will also follow the voice of God and refuse to follow anything else. So what happens is God will allow us to get in the places and He will speak in a way that is contrary to the things that make us comfortable in life. And you have to understand that I was talking to Brother Johnson this afternoon when we were I can't even pronounce the place, Shipawaka, somewhere. Shipshawana, it sounds like a dance, praise the Lord. But we were in a place called Shipshawana, and I asked him, I said, Brother Johnson, I said, were you alive during the time of JFK? And I knew that he wasn't that old, but I was wondering if he was like, you know, maybe at least 4 or 5 years old. He said, I was about 2 years old during that time. He said, I don't have any memory of that time. But the thing is, it lets us know that time has an ability to kind of keep on moving. And the thing is that God has placed us in the time that we're living in right now. And we can't go and try to fulfill the purpose of people that did not fulfill their purpose back then, but we must fulfill the purpose that God is calling us to fulfill right now. We've got to fulfill that purpose. So the thing is that there are times where you'll find that people sometimes are very bitter, and I talk a lot about the importance of not just forgiving people that walk with you or forgiving your spouse or forgiving your friends, but there are people that oftentimes walk around with a bitterness of in their heart towards things that people did in their past. And I've seen it where the past makes it extremely difficult for people to embrace what God is saying right now. Why? Because God is always taking you into tomorrow when your past wants to hold you back to yesterday. And a lot of times when we do this, we're carrying memories and we're carrying thoughts and memories that create fear have a tendency to hold us back to the place where we're now trying to find that place of comfort. Why? Because every time I step out into something new, or step out into something that I've never stepped into before, I always run the risk of being disappointed. But the amazing thing about God is that the voice of God shows up and he speaks to Abraham and he tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, I want to take you to a city whose builder and maker is God. Now the thing is, my friend, is that in order for God to get you to the place that he wants and what he has designed for you, you have got to be willing to separate your heart from what has made you comfortable. You got to understand that the Bible makes the statement. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. You know how many people live their life and neglecting what God has for them in the future because the only thing they can see are the things that have happened in the past? So what they do is they live their life in defense mode. They live on defense, and they're expecting maybe the same abuse that happened yesterday. They're expecting that same abuse to happen tomorrow. So what they do is they live in a way where they're trying to avoid this storm and avoid this conflict. They're trying to avoid men that were like their dad, or they're trying to avoid women that were like their mom. They're living life on the defense end. And that is not the way that God has designed us. And that's not the plan that God has. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I think we would do good as people of God if we would understand that whatever thought you have set back and you have just filled your imagination and your heart with throughout the day, and you have caused yourself to come to a place of depression, after you have done doing all of your thinking about what you think life is going to hand you tomorrow, you need to take that and you need to throw it out the window, and you need to read what God said, because God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. So the thing is that when it comes down to God, somewhere along the line, you've got to let what he says be true. Just because you're able to come up with all kind of crazy imaginations on how things can be so messed up in your life, can I tell you that God is able to exceed the imaginations that come to your mind, even the good imaginations. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So what does that mean? That means that I should quit wasting my time trying to give the enemy some type of tool or weapon to use, or give my flesh some kind of tool or weapon to use to bring me into a place of depression and confusion, but use my imagination to expand my hope, because God said he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I ask or think according to the power that worketh in me. So instead of reducing what the power can do, why don't I expand what that power can do by thinking on things that is going to present hope, by thinking on things that are going to present virtue, by thinking on things that is actually going to bring glory to God and not devastation to myself. What do you mean? We want to make sure that our thoughts are a reflection of what he has spoken. Why? Because the Bible makes the statement in the book of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. When you look at that word, Word, that word is a thought. And you got to understand, praise the Lord, that Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit. But you got to understand that that word is a thought. And you got to understand that before the Lord spoke anything into existence, he already had a thought. And you got to understand that God's desire is that if we are created in the image and the likeness of God, that not only do we reflect his identity, but we also reflect his thought process in the earth. Can I talk to every person in this room that if you are a part of the Church of the Living God, your thought process should be influenced by the thought process of God. David said, I hid the word of God in my heart that I would not sin against God. Can I talk to somebody this day? That the Bible says that Abraham hears a voice, and that voice is speaking to him. It doesn't talk about any time in history where the Lord spoke to him as a little baby or spoke to some people that he went to school, but God just one day showed up and God spoke to him. Can I talk to somebody and let you know that we're living in a world where we have gotten so full of so much pseudo Christianity that the pseudo Christianity has caused the value for the voice of God to actually begin to dwindle down the value for God, not just in the different denominations and the different school of thoughts that are out there, but also even in mainstream Pentecost. We have become so familiar with being so churchy and so familiar with being so Pentecostal that we have lost our value for God and the voice of God and the things of God. We don't want to be so caught up in the process of being churchy that we allow it become such a tradition and a religion among us that when God shows up and speaks to our hearts, it no longer holds the same weight and the same value that it used to hold. They call Abraham the father of faith. Now, the thing is that when Abraham heard the voice of God, there was a value that came to his heart. Now, the thing was, the Bible declares that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Now, the thing is that if a person is going to have faith, it is only because he has heard a word from God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, how shall ye hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It also declares that the just shall live by faith. But it also says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. So the thing is that God has a way of putting people in positions that create hope. Long before an individual had faith, an individual has hope. And you got to understand that what God does is that God shows up and he allows you to be in a position that you have a desire to hope for something, but yet you've got the hope, but you don't necessarily have the resources that are necessary to produce the very thing that you're hoping for. Well, what happens is God will put mankind in situations. And I believe that Abraham was in a position where he had a desire to go somewhere beyond where he was at. Is there any been some a place where you've been like, I know that there is more that God has for me than this? There's this desire, praise the Lord, that there's got to be something beyond the horizon. There has to be something beyond this. Have you ever been in a place where you were like, where maybe you didn't even know God? Maybe you didn't even know that God exists, but you can have that woman, praise the Lord, that's desiring that somebody would come by and would heal this precious child of hers. Or there's this man that's saying, man, I wish that I could go beyond this territory. I wish that there would be something that would happen. Maybe Abraham had heard the story about what actually took place in the garden and how mankind went from a place of walking in paradise to now walking in a place of utter darkness. Have you ever been in a position where you're like, my God, I wish that there would be something I could do to go back and overturn the decision that I made yesterday? But can I talk to somebody and let you know that Abraham, praise the Lord, did not have the power to go back in reverse yesterday, but God had a word that was greater than his yesterday. God had a word, praise the Lord, that made sure that yesterday would not bind him and keep him from pressing into his tomorrow. But the Bible declares that from the foundation of the world, the Lord had already slain a lamb. Can I talk to somebody in this room? That God's determination in your life to make sure that the end of your life and the end of the matter is a matter that ends in peace, he makes sure that he makes the best decision before you can ever make the worst decision in your life. So that after you have made the worst decision, the best decision that he made from the foundation of the world is able to put you on course even after you have fallen off course. Can I talk to somebody in this room? That God says, I love you. What do you mean? You got to understand that the Bible says that God so loved the world, he said that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It also makes the statement, it talks about, it says that that God has declared the end from the beginning. So not only has he made up in his mind that I know the thoughts of, I think towards you, the thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end, but he says that I've also declared your end from the beginning. The enemy's objective is to make you ignorant of what God's plan for your end is. The enemy's objective is to make sure that he creates so much fear and chaos in your life that you have no expectation in believing that God actually has a greater purpose in all the chaos that is going on. He wants your life to be so full of chaos that you have no faith to believe that God has purpose even in the midst of the chaos. What do you mean? He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But how is he going to do it with all we're thinking is nothing but negative? Can I tell you that God does not want the storm or the thorn to be the influencer of your thoughts, but God wants his word and his promise to be the influencer of your thoughts. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. As I've quoted, and I'm going to quote again, it says, the word of the Lord is a lamp to our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. So when he hears the voice of God, all of a sudden, there's an illumination that takes place. Have you ever been in a place where you heard the word of God or something that the preacher preached, or maybe somebody just said something to you and then all of a sudden something just clicked, something just, a light came on in your spirit and you were like, okay, now it makes sense. Now it's all of a sudden you got a level of peace. Why? Because you got a level of understanding. But can I tell you that we're now in a season where the Lord is like, I can't wait for you to get understanding, for you to get peace. Some of us only allow ourselves to walk in peace if we've got understanding. But when the God of this world, when the God of this world is a deceiver and the liar, and the God of this world deceived all the nations, and he deceived the angels that are also in heaven, if the God of this world, praise the Lord, is a confuser and is a liar, then you got to understand, and also his nature is greater than our nature. Why? Because the Bible says that he makes his angels spirit, praise the Lord, and Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. So if his nature is greater than our nature, then we can't always wait for us to get understanding before we get peace. But Jesus said, I'll give you peace that surpasseth all understanding if you'll just keep your mind on me. Can I talk to somebody in this room? That as we're walking with God and we are pressing into this end time, the more you need to learn to take your mind off of social media and set your mind on the Lord. It's not about being in the face or in the book of faces or being in Facebook, but it's about making sure that your face is in his presence, your face is in his book, that your face is always beholding the glory of the Lord. Abraham hears the word of the Lord. And when he hears the word of the Lord, it's an illumination. It illuminates the pathway. All of a sudden, there's direction. Why? Because the word of the Lord is a lamp to the feet. What do you mean? God won't speak a word that you can't walk in. The word of God is meant for obedience. God is never going to give you instruction that goes outside of what's written, and God will never give you instruction that goes outside of you walking in. His word, praise the Lord, is for your obedience. His word is for your direction. His word is for your enlightenment. His word is for your surrenderance. His word, praise the Lord, is for your building. You got to understand, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, well, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so many times we want just the Spirit of God to move. But can I tell you, you can be where He's moving and nothing is changing. If you're going to see a change in the manifested change in the things that you see around you, you need more than a move of the Spirit. You need a word from God. We are in a movement right now, in a day and age, I'm sorry, right now, where we want a move of the Spirit, but nobody wants to obey the word of God. Can I tell you that when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and immediately light appeared. The light did not come because the Spirit moved. The light came because the Spirit spoke. Can I talk to somebody in this room? If you're ever going to see the transformation that God has for your life, you got to respond to the work, to the word of the Lord. It's how you handle what is spoken that determines how God handles what you see. If you want to change in what you see, you got to change how you hear. You got to be an obedient hearer. The Bible says, be not hearers of the word only, but be doers. Why? Because if we hear it and we don't do it, we deceive ourselves. Well, there is an unction, the way that God speaks, if you're walking in humility. Now, the Bible makes the statement, it says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. This is why I think it's very important. You know, we live in a world, praise the Lord. I've been talking to the church all around the country and telling people, you know, this country is a country. It's a prideful country. It's a prideful nation. As a matter of fact, praise the Lord, I've been in services. I preached meetings where I remember one time I was preaching a meeting in the South, and they started singing Proud to Be an American. The Bible says that God resists the proud. There are times where I've told my son, I said, I'm not proud of you. I said, I'm honored that you're my son, and I'm grateful for the things that God has done in your life and the things that God is doing for you. But for me to say that I'm proud, God does not resist all pride. But when it comes down to proudness or pride that deals with your country or proudness or pride that deals with your children, God just winks at that. But what do you mean, Brother Hurt? You got to understand that I know that kind of went over like a rock. But you got to understand, you've got to make it up in your spirit what direction you're going to go. The Bible makes a statement in the last days, take heed that no man deceive you. Say, Brother Hurt, it ain't nothing. It don't mean all that. But can I tell you, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If we're going to be people of holiness, if we're going to be people of purity, if we're going to be people of consecration, if we're going to be people of sanctification, then we've got to come out from the world. We got to come out of all of that stuff. What do you mean? The world may have no problem with it, but as I'm getting closer to the coming of the Lord, I'm trying to purify myself. The Bible says, he that hath this hope doth purify himself, even as he is pure. The more we get closer to the end of time, and the more we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we as people of God must begin to look at our garment and get rid of the spots and get rid of the blemishes and get rid of the wrinkles. What do you mean? Because he said he's coming back for a church that is without one spot, without one blemish, and without one wrinkle. So what do you mean? That means that we can't just do what is good to keep us in fellowship with man. Why? Because we can be in good standing with man and be out of good standing with God. That means that Abraham heard the word, but God shows up and you see Abraham's response. Now, Abraham responds with the spirit of humility. Now you notice that grace, I believe that grace was in the earth already before Jesus showed up. Now what do you mean by that? The Bible declares that grace and truth came by way of Jesus Christ. But the thought of grace was already in the foundation. Why? Because the Bible declares that the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So that lamb that was slain was grace. But Jesus had to bring grace through the law. He had to come being born under the law of sin and death. And after he was born under the law of sin and death, and he condemned sin in the flesh, then all of a sudden grace and truth now flows from him. You got to understand that grace could not flow from the foundation. But grace had to come down through the volume of the book. Grace had to come, praise the Lord, it's almost like how the scripture talks about something coming down through a dry land, through a hardened soil. Praise the Lord. You got to understand that the way that the Lord came, he came down through a process. And you got to understand it was through that process that he was able to bring us deliverance. But this man that God uses to be the vehicle that he is going to use to bring his promise to the world had to be a man of humility, a man that was willing to respond only to the voice of the Lord. Can I talk to somebody in this room? Before the Lord gave him a promise, the Lord gave him a word. The Lord gave him an instruction, and you've got a responsibility to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Why? Because if you're not willing to humble yourself, then you're not going to be willing to receive the blessing that God has for you. Why? Because the blessing came by his obedience to the word of the Lord. His obedience is what ushered us into the promises of God. Abraham hears God, and Abraham decides, I'm going to go with this voice. And it wasn't just any voice. It was the God of creation. Can I talk to somebody in the room? The Bible makes the statement. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Many of us fear everything else but God. And many of us, when it comes down to God, we don't necessarily fear God. We just fear hell. But the Bible says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When there's a fear of God, there's a true awe of God. Can I talk to somebody in this room? Not only do we want to maintain the blessings of God, but if we're going to maintain the blessings of God, we need to maintain the fear of God. Because if we ever lose the fear of God, we'll make a God out of the blessings that God gave us. But if we maintain the fear of God, if we lose the blessing, we still keep walking with God. Why? Because we're not in this for the blessing. We're in this for the Lord. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. It's not in the blessing, but it's in the blesser. So what occurs is the Lord speaks to Abraham. Abraham hearkens, and the Lord's like, I'm going to take you to a city whose builder and maker is God. And the Lord tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, Bible says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now the thing is, the Bible says, it is impossible for God to lie. The Bible says, God be true and every man a liar. Jesus, which is the express image of the invisible God, said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. The Bible lets us know that his word, his truth, is forever settled in heaven. It is impossible for the Lord to tell a lie. The Bible declares that the devil is a liar. Jesus said that the enemy was a liar. He's the father of it. For he was a liar from the beginning. So that means if God could lie, then the devil would be his father. But because it is impossible for God to lie, the devil could never be his father. devil could never be his father. So the thing is, the Bible says his word goes forth and it will not return back void. It will accomplish what it has set out to do. You got to understand that God doesn't become truth because Jesus shows up in the flesh. Jesus shows up in the flesh because God is true. You got to understand that you didn't wake up. God didn't become true because you woke up. You woke up because God is true. You don't have salvation. God doesn't become true because you've got salvation. You have salvation because God is true. His word is forever settled. So what does that mean? I cannot look at God through the lenses of the world. I must look at God through the lenses of his word. How are you filtering God? How are you filtering the relationship with God? How are you filtering what he says? Are you filtering him through the world? Are you filtering him through the word? Are you letting the world be true? Or are you letting the word be true? Bible makes the statement, it says in the book of Romans, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you would prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Can I tell you, you'll never understand the perfect will of God walking by the ways of the world. It is when you let the word of God bring about a transformation in your heart, it is then that God reveals to you his perfect will and his perfect plan. That's why, young people, you can't just hang out with people just because they're in the church don't mean that they're in the word. It's not about them just being in the church. Are they walking by the world or are they walking by the word? Can I talk to somebody? Because the world, praise the Lord, will bring about conformity, but the word is where you get your transformation. Can I talk to somebody in this room? I don't care what they say on Facebook. I don't care what they say on TikTok. I don't care what your favorite YouTube person tells you. What does the word say? Well, the Bible declares that in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was there nothing made. I don't need your personality. I need these instructions. Why? Because when he judges me, he's not going to raise up a personality, but he's going to raise up this book. Too many times in this world right now, we've got too many people chasing personalities. Can I tell you, we don't need another personality than the fullness of his person, which is Jesus Christ. Can I talk to somebody in this room? The only personality that we need in the church that's running the church is Jesus Christ. You want the personality. The personality of his character is holy. The personality of his character is patience. The personality of his character is love. The personality of his character is pure. It's righteous. He tells him, Abraham, he does this not because he has to. See, the thing is, in order for us, for a man to give a word, or if a person was to go to court, they would make someone take an oath. Why? Because in order, an oath was given to somebody that was lesser. See, the thing is, when you are taking an oath, you're taking an oath because it's a possibility that you can't be trusted. Your flesh. So because of that, they'll tell you to put your hand on the Bible. Not left hand, right hand. Put your right hand on something that is greater than you. And you put your right hand on that thing, and when you do, you lift your other hand up, and they said to you, swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Can I talk to somebody in this room? That many times, there are many of us that feel like we have to force God to swear to us. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? By that, God's like, I'm gonna heal your body, and you don't believe it. How many times have you gotten an instruction from the Lord? Or somebody's like, man, I think the Lord's telling you to do something. And you're like, oh, no, he's going to have to make the light flicker 3 times. I'm not doing it. He's going to have to make the light flicker. He's going to have to come down and say it to me right to my face. Can I talk to somebody in this room? Get rid of that foolish talking. You want to be the person that God, you don't have to yell to me in order to get my attention, but I want to walk with you in such a way that if you say it, I just go ahead and I run with it. I don't want you to have to yell. I don't want you to have to make the light flicker. I want to be the person that the Bible says that Jesus said, he said, the Son of Man doth nothing of himself, only what he sees the Father do. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Abraham, many of us are saying, Brother Hurt, I would never make God do that. So you gotta understand. There were some things that God did. And it is to show you and to show us the seriousness behind the matter. You ever had somebody come to you and you'd be like, I remember one time I thought my son stole one of my cookies. Anybody know about me and my cookies? Now I'm on keto, so nobody eats my cookies in the house. I think I might stay on keto, because if I stay on keto, they don't eat my stuff. But one time I was like, Isaac, you... I mean, I was upset. I was heated because, you know, he's a cookie monster. He'll go, I got cameras sometimes. He'll go and sneak in the cabinets and stuff, and, you know, and he'll leave. And I'm thinking that the whole box is full because the box is closed perfectly and all that stuff. I'm like, man, I know I got about at least 20 of them in there. And I open that thing up, and it's all gone. Deception. I was like, you eat my cookies. And he was like, no, Dad, I didn't. He was like, I promise you. It was getting ready to be World War III. He's like, I promise you, Dad. Why? Because the thing is, he's saying that why? To establish the seriousness behind what he is saying. He's doing that if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least know the seriousness behind the matter, that what I'm telling you at this moment is really true. You ever heard somebody talk about that guy that got up and he gave that that tongue of interpretation? It was like, you know, God told Moses to build the ark and what have you, and then next thing you know, he messed that thing up. And then the Lord was like, it's really me this time. That was my foolish servant speaking, but it's really me this time. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that when God speaks, God doesn't speak out of turn. God does not waste any words. If God said it, just like they used to sing in Sunday school, God said it, I believe it, and that should settle it for you and me. What do you mean by the hurt? That means that when God says something, it's already going forth. There's no one in creation that can stop it. He said, my word will go forth and it will not return back void. It will accomplish what it's set out to do. They said, well, the devil's trying to make God out to be a liar. It's impossible for the devil to make God out to be a liar. Why? Because you can't make God be anything, because he's God. He's the all-sovereign, all-knowing God. God can't be created, and God can't be created into something else. He can't lose his identity, because all identity comes from God. If you change God, then everything around us must die. Everything's got to die. The Lord tells him, Abraham, I've got a plan. You need to start looking at the scriptures not like you're looking at Bible characters. This is not the Disney Channel. This is not Cartoon Express. I don't even know if they have it anymore. This is not none of that. This is not the Discovery Channel. You're standing right in the middle of God's plan. Now you're in the middle of God's plan, but you're also in the middle of a war. But while you're in the middle of God's plan and while you're in the middle of God's of a war, he has preserved you for the promises of God. So the Lord tells Abraham, says, Abraham, I'm making this promise to you. I am going to bless you. I am going to not only bless you, but out of your loins shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The Lord is speaking beyond Abraham. Abraham is making a decision that is going to impact generations, thousands of years into the future. And what he is moving on and all that he's got to go by is a word from God. Now the thing is, in this world, people give you their word. And the thing is, I told a guy recently, with a situation going on, I said, we can do that. We got some stuff together. I said, we could do that. I said, but we need to sign a contract. I said, because, you know, I need something to bind you to what comes out of your mouth. Because if I don't have something binding you to what comes out of your mouth, you and I could have a great handshake, and you could have given me your word, and your word can go nowhere. Well, the thing is, God says, I'm going to bind myself to a contract agreement. He said, I'm going to swear by myself. I'm going to do this thing. Well, the thing is, when God does something like that, what occurs within an individual should know, all right, this thing is extremely serious. This is a serious matter. This is a legal matter that if this matter is broken, he could be in contempt of court. What happens, praise the Lord, when God puts his own deity, he puts his own divinity on the line to say, you know what, I put this on my own deity that I'm going to deliver you, that I'm going to bless you. He didn't say, I'm just going to do it for my name. He didn't just say, I'm going to do it for my glory. He said, I'm going to do it. And he said, I swear to my own self. The hurt you got. Well, what comes with the blessing? See, the thing is, my mother told me when I was a kid, she said, George, she said, you never sign your name on anything that you don't read the fine print. She said, you better read everything. So I'm the guy that, you know, I've been doing it for so long that sometimes people be like, hey, all you gotta do is just sign this. And Sign here. And they're like, and they're telling you what's on the page. But I'm a slow reader. I read like I'm at McDonald's trying to give my order. Thank you for stopping at McDonald's. May I take your order, please? Let me get one of them. Person's looking, and sometimes we are signing things and you don't even know what's in the agreement. Have you read the agreement? Because see, the thing is that many people sign covenants. Many people sign contracts, and they let the person that's telling them to sign it tell you what's on it, but they're only giving the cliff notes to what's on that paper. Have you studied this thing out to know what this actually entails and what actually is benefiting you and what's going to occur if you actually enter into this agreement? Because see, the thing is that when it comes down to God, I'm reminded in scripture that when King David, when David wasn't even king, he shows up and he sees the Philistine Goliath standing out there in front of the people. And the Bible says for several days, for several weeks, this giant was speaking great boisterous words. When all of a sudden David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of God?" David might not have been king. And David might not have been the son that was desired of Jesse's sons. And David, probably, praise the Lord, might not have had great stature, but David knew something about his God, and David knew something about the covenant agreement that God made with man. Can I talk to somebody in this room? You better know the agreement that God made with Abraham, because if you don't know the agreement, then the enemy will talk you out of the agreement that God has made with you. Why? Because the thing is that you've got to know what's written. You got to know what's written. You got to know, because see, the thing is, David shows up and he looks at this giant and he's looking at this giant. And while he's looking at him, the people are mesmerized by his stature and his capability. So the thing is, we don't strike when we know what the enemy's capable of. But David was ready to strike because by looking through the covenant, he knew what God was capable of. This is why it's important to maintain the fear of God at all times. Always have it before you. Because when you always have the fear of God before you, then what's going to happen when the enemy or something else comes in your life that wants to try to usurp some kind of authority against you, you can look at that thing and say, "Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? You come against me with swords and knives, but I come against you in the name of the Lord." The name works when you fear the God that's the owner of the name. You can't look at God's promises like they're God's maybes. God's promise is not God's maybe. When God promises, he also swore by an oath. Why? When a person swears by an oath, and a person breaks the oath, they can be in charge with contempt. God is like, "I'm going to put myself on my own line. Then if I don't do this, I'll judge myself." What are you saying, Brother Hurt? I've come to tell you, do you actually believe that God will ever be defeated? Do you actually believe that God will ever come off of his throne? Do you actually believe that God will ever be overthrown? It's impossible. Well, I've also come to tell you what also is impossible. It's impossible for him to lie, but it's also this. He tells him, he said, "Man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. And I'm going to bless thee and multiply thee." He said, "Not only am I going to multiply, but I'm also multiplying you." What are you saying, Brother Hurt? He's like, "I'm going to cause you to prosper." Now listen, I'm not talking about the perverted prosperity gospel. Because sometimes what happens is many of us prepare ourselves for defeat. But can I tell you that you don't have to prepare for defeat? You need to prepare for victory. As a matter of fact, you ain't even got to prepare for victory. Why? Because we're already victorious. The battle's already been won. If you're preparing yourself, you're preparing yourself to see him. But what do you mean? That means that if God is going to multiply, there's promises. Then what are those promises? Are there promises that he gave in Deuteronomy, there are promises that he gave in Exodus. There's promises that he gave, yes. There's also promises that also continued that began to branch out into the rest of the world that actually deals with the church. And Jesus made a statement. He said, whatever you ask in my name, he said, I'll give it to you. I'll give you the desires of my heart, of your heart, according to my will. Happens when you not just know the church and you not are just familiar with Pentecost, but you're familiar with God. I've come to tell you that God is bringing the church into a place where there are people in the church that will know their God. Can I talk to somebody in this room? For far too long, we want to know preachers, we want to know prophets, we want to know evangelists, we want to know pastors, we want to know bishops, we want to be able to spend a week, we want to go to a weekend, we want to go to this island, we want to go to this neighborhood, we want to go to this meeting to have just one little conversation with a famous preacher. But can I tell you, the Bible says, them that understand among the people shall instruct many, and those that know their God shall be strong and will do exploits.
What does that mean? That means that when I know him, I make myself familiar with him. I know him what? I know him through relationship, and I know him according to this book. I take him at what his word says. This word is what governs the oath. That because it governs the oath, you now have the authority to go to what's written in the word and say, it says right here in your word, Lord, that if I came before you with this, that you would do this. And he said, because I swear that I was going to bless you, he holds himself to the agreement of his word and says, I promise you, I'm going to deliver you. I promise you, I'm going to bring you out. I promise you. Sister Sally was believing God was going to heal her body. But God did not heal her body. Did God break his oath? Nope. But for every Sally that died believing God, but never attaining, never seen what was manifested, that doubt, that Sally that was believing God still died in the faith. Abraham never saw the promise. As a matter of fact, Jesus shows up on the scene thousands of years later. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be there also. John the Revelator says, I saw New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. So he died in the faith, never attaining the thing that he was going after. So what do you mean? Do you stop believing God? If he doesn't give it to me while I'm alive, he'll give it to me when I'm dead, and he'll wake me up to restore unto me what he promised. If he doesn't raise me up, if he doesn't heal me now, he'll raise me up and he'll heal me later. We must die in the faith. I swear, I'm going to deliver you. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? Somewhere along the line, when you hear that word, your heart should be filled. full of expectation. It should not be full of the wind. The wind is not what matters. The what is what matters. Quit magnifying the wind and start magnifying the what. If you magnify the what, there may be an acceleration in the wind. To magnify the what. We were in a revival in Brother Butler's church in Southern California. There was a woman in the church. It came down with like stage 3, stage 4 liver cancer. And this woman was dying. She came to church, you know, because when you get liver cancer, that's not the kind of cancer you want to get. There's certain cancers that are death sentences. But can I tell you that the oath covers the sentence? See, the thing is that you got to understand that right now God is under oath. Now, he doesn't need to be under oath. He doesn't go under oath to establish credibility for himself. He goes under oath to show you the seriousness of how he intends to deliver you. It's kind of like this. You ever, you know, we're looking for, it's like this, God's like, you know, you ever wanted to give your children, they were doing a test and they couldn't get the answer right, but you want to just tell them what the answer is. God's like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to make you do it, but this right here would work. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? If you would understand that God's like, man, I promise you, I'll do this. That young lady that went to church on a Sunday and went to the doctor on Tuesday, turned around and the doctor was like, something is wrong. Something doesn't make sense. We cannot find a trace of the cancer. Who did it? It wasn't Brother Hurt. It was the oath. Because, see, when you're under oath, you got to tell the truth. And can I talk to somebody in this room? When God is under oath, he must not only tell the truth, he must manifest what he spoke.
You say, well, Brother Hurt, but what if that's not your job? It's your job to take him at his word and trust him.
And believe him with all of your heart.
What do you mean, Brother Hurt? Till your faith becomes so big that every difficulty and challenge becomes obsolete. Why? Because the thing is, are you going to always have cancer? No. Are you going to always have diabetes? No.
You said, Brother Hurt, yeah, when I get to Jerusalem, no, I tell you this, that if God, when God raises you up, raises us up, and he comes and he descends upon the Mount of Olives, and we reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, I promise you, you won't be like, Jack, can I go get, I got to go to Walmart, go get my insulin. We're not going to be wheeling you through New Jerusalem. Ain't going to be no C&I, I mean, not no Jerusalem. We're not going to be, there's not going to be seven no C&I dogs during the millennial reign. So what are you saying, Brother Hurt? I've come to tell you that God wants to do some things now so that he can be glorified in the earth. What do you mean? There's some things that he wants to do so that your joy will be filled.
So what does that mean?
That means that while you're moving to the end of time and you seeing an Antichrist spirit arising, and we're getting closer, and we see that spirit wanting to wear out the saints of the Most High. He wants to. It doesn't mean he's going to be able to. You can want to do a lot of stuff. I mean, I wanted to beat my son in a race. It didn't happen. You may want to do a lot of stuff. Doesn't mean that he's going to be capable. The Bible says, them that know their God, they shall be weary. No, they shall be strong and do exploits.
What do you mean, Brother Herb? That means that God is getting us outside of the shadow of just religious tradition and saying, you know what, I'm just going to let the pastor take care of it. I'm going to let the evangelist take care of it. I'm going to let the ministry team take care of it. No, there's a responsibility that comes in your relationship with God. I'm going to believe God for greater. I'm going to believe God that he is able to do exceeding. That has to be the reality in which you walk in. But you as a people of God can't wait for the corporate body to get on board with it before you make a move. How many times have you been in a service and you really had the faith to believe that God was going to do this thing? But you are waiting for the corporate body. We are like getting permission from the corporate body before we actually obey the word of the Lord. We determine everything based off of how we corporately respond. And God's like, all I need is, you know, just one woman that has an issue of blood. There's some people that are just around just to see what's going on. But then you've got those people that are hungry that are like, God, I'm desperate. This woman had an issue of blood for 30 years, and she was like, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. See, the thing is, you could either become creative in a way that deactivates God, or you could become creative in a way that activates God. And this woman became so creative with her imagination. She said, man, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Are you creating things with your thoughts that put you in position of the miraculous? Or are you creating things with your thoughts that positions you out of the miraculous? That's what fear does.
But some of you right now, you're more concerned about what's going on in the world. Listen, I'm telling you, yes, there's a revival that's coming. But a lot of us are wanting the revival that's coming because we know how to move with momentum. We depend more on momentum. We depend on everybody else having revival so that we can have revival. But God's like, I want the people to have revival because you're having revival, not you having revival because the world's having revival. Do I know how many people are going to get the Holy Ghost in the last days? No. Does that matter to me? No. That's not my job. It's my job to love my neighbor. It's my job to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's my job to follow the direction and the voice of God. It's not my job to over-sensationalize the revival and the miraculous in the book of Joel to motivate me out of my lukewarmness. Because I need an event to keep me excited, because if I have excitement, then I've got faith.
God's like, I want to take you beyond excitement. If a man only goes to work if he's excited, he's going to be broke and homeless with no wife. You lift your hands. I swear. How does the blessing flow? Abraham had to obey the instruction. If your faith in God's word don't move you to obedience, it don't move you to action, it's not faith at all. Our faith should move us
in the action. We should be demonstrating what we have faith for. If we don't have faith, we're not demonstrating it. We demonstrate what we have faith in. And you're like, well, Brother Hurt, what if it doesn't work? What if it does? Are you waiting on somebody else? See, the thing is, you got people that are waiting on others, and you got others that are waiting on God. But then you have God that is waiting on you. And God is like, I need you to make a move. You could either be the person that's waiting on others, or you could be the others that's waiting on God, or you can be the one that God is waiting on, and you can make a move, and God shows up. Which one are you? Would you lift your hands? A desperation. How you feel? How you feel in your body? Wait. Stand up. I was talking to her, but y'all can too. Do you want to always be like this? Come here, I want you to walk with me. I do believe that God allows things to happen. He lets people have thorns. Certain situations God will let happen in our life, and he'll use that thing to save us, to deliver us. But I don't believe that everything is a thorn. And I believe that if Paul would have dealt with his pride, Paul would not have had that thorn. But because Paul did not address his pride, then God had to address the pride with a thorn. You say, Brother Hurt, how can Paul have pride? The Bible says that there was contention between him and John Mark. And the Bible says through much pride comes contention. So in order for there to be contention, much pride must be present. So it was due to the abundance of pride that was in the heart of John, in the heart of Paul, that caused contention between him and John Mark. And because of that, the Lord, knowing what was in his heart and the abundance of revelation that he had, the Lord sent the messenger of Satan to buffet him so that he would not be lifted up above measure. What do you mean? God will allow things to afflict us if we don't afflict the things that are actually afflicting us. If we don't address the pride in our hearts and in our lives, God will address it with the messenger of Satan. And it will all be with the intent to deliver us. I want you to lift your hands. I've come to tell you this day that the spirit of fear and anxiety, you have a condition that is in your body that is kind of like a revolving door. You get rid of one thing and it's like something else move in. I see your body, you have muscle spasms, you've got sores to the point where it's almost like your muscles are extremely stiff. There are knots that appear throughout your body, and basically this thing is attacking your nervous system. I've come to tell you this day that the doctors have nothing that can't give you anything to change it. And I've come to tell you this day that a lot of this stems from a spirit of fear and depression. What has happened is over the past 20 years of your life, what has occurred is that there's been things that have molded your perception. You've kind of have secluded yourself, and you're a person that you have to, if a person is not consistent in the way that they deal with you, then you automatically start thinking thoughts of fear that kills the motive and the intent of other people. You live in a place of rejection and torment. I've come to tell you this day that there's also a fear that has been worrying you, that you're like, God, am I even going to make it? I've come to tell you this day that God has already determined
the direction that he has set for you. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace. But see, the thing is that you keep needing God to repeat. You live in the sensation when God wants you to live in the faith. You got to understand, it goes beyond the feeling. I see you getting things from the Lord, and I see you going back home, and I see you trying to replay the imagination, and you want the feeling, and more than, you got to understand the substance is not in the feeling. The substance is in what he's saying. And you got to understand that it's what he says that's going to bring about the transformation. I want you to stretch your hands towards this young lady. This night, by the authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus, not only is God going to do a healing there, but God is going to heal your lower extremities this night by the power and the authority. There it is. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord God, I bind every infirmity, every affliction right now in her mind and her spirit. I command all the spasms in her body to cease with by the authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would stand up in my sister. I bind and I rebuke the spirit of fear. And I pray, Lord God, that there would be a spirit of joy and healing. The Lord told me to tell you this day, he said, quit identifying yourself by the words of the one that walked out, but identify yourself by the words of the one that remains. In the name of the Lord, God, I pray, Lord God, that there will be a healing and a closure. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that there will be a peace and a joy. And I pray, Lord God, in the name of the Lord, God, that you would begin to establish the things, Lord God, that have been thrown off course. I pray for peace. I pray for wholeness. I pray for healing this night. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody, talk to the Lord. Talk to him. They've got what they call lie detector tests. And there are people sometimes that when they believe someone is lying, they hook them up to a machine that detects lies. Well, the Lord is like, he considers it a lie if he doesn't do what he says. Usually when we think about lies, we think about, did you do such and such? That person says yay or nay. But God also declares that lies are also things when he says he's going to do something. And he doesn't do what he says he's going to do. That's a broken promise. That's a lie. And the thing is right now is that God goes under covenant and God goes under oath. I'm sorry. Not because he has to. But understanding the nature and understanding our nature and understanding who we are as people, he does that to solidify the promises that he has spoken in your life. Right now, I want you just to open up your heart and I want you to receive the fact that the Lord has confirmed this thing with an oath. The oath is the confirmation that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. If you're looking for a confirmation, he did it with an oath. Come on, the oath testifies that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Because in just a moment, I'm going to call you to the altar. And there's some people in this room that there are things that when you get rid of your fear. The fear what? The fear that God's not going to do what he says. Your fear is going to go down and your trust is going to go up. Right now, in the name of the Lord, I want you to begin to let your trust expand. Come on, I want you to receive what he has spoken. I want you to receive the promise of his word. Not the oath yet, not the oath yet, the promise of his word. Hear what he has spoken. Hear what he has spoken. Come on, that doesn't mean you're like, Brother Hurt, well,
I feel like that I feel like God's going to save everybody else, but he won't do it for me. I believe that I'm just too messed up. I got too many problems. I got too many issues. There's no problem that is too big for God. Come on, receive that promise. Receive that promise. Abraham, when the Lord spoke, he confirmed it with an oath. He said, Abraham, I swear, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply you, and I'm going to multiply. Come on, in the name of the Lord. You're looking for multiplication of affliction. And God said, I'm getting ready to multiply the deliverance in your life. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Come on. Come on, I know that you're looking and you're sizing yourself up by the opposition that is in front of you right now. But can I tell you that God's greater than the opposition? When it's over with and done, the opposition will be fallen and God will be standing. You will be standing upon the promises of the Lord. Come on, in the name of the Lord. I swear, he said, I'm going to do it. Come on, I promise you, you ain't got to faint. You ain't got to be weary. But in well-doing, you're going to reap if you faint not. Come on, in the name of the Lord. I trust you, God. Come on, I know that he could do it. I believe he's going to do it tonight. Come on, I know that many of you didn't even know that it was on the schedule that he had it for you to have a miracle. But you didn't even know that it was on the schedule that he even had affliction in your pathway, but you came in contact with it. But then all of a sudden, God turns it. Come on, God's getting ready to turn some things tonight. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Come on, that's it, in the name of the Lord. That's it. Come on, now I want you to receive that oath right now. Come on, the seriousness, the confirmation, the agreement, praise the Lord, that comes to solidify what he already said. Come on, hallelujah. If that's you right now, I believe that while you're coming, I believe if you come with all your faith, there you go, brother. I believe it'll fall on you right now. There's some of you this week that when you go to the doctor, it's going to be a miracle. Come on, tonight's a miracle night. Come on, tonight's a miracle night. I believe that while you're coming, there's some of you right now, you're waiting on a phone call. Come on, you're waiting on a phone call. Come on, I've come to tell you. If you will walk in agreement with his spirit, I've got more confidence in the oath than I've got confidence in the fear. I've got more confidence in the oath that I've got confidence in the fear, because God triumphs over the fear, but fear cannot triumph over the oath. He said, I swear I'm going to bless you. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Come on, that's it. Just come and worship him. Surrender that thing, because while you're surrendering it, he's working a miracle. Come on. Come on. And you that are in this room, God starts moving on you to lay hands on somebody. Do it. God gives you an instruction. God gives you a word from somebody. Give it. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Come on. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God.
Your family and your children, and your children.